Sunday. This is BK Jones. I am thrilled to be partnering with BPN Radio and Pastor Dale Gentry for Preaching Sundays every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Let's go to the message. You know, I don't understand not being excited to go to church because as a kid, I just woke up every Wednesday and Sunday excited, not that I had to go to church, but that I was going to get to go to church. It was my lifeline to God. It was my lifeline to just living and breathing. It was my substance, the one thing that kept me going. And so, you know, I want to stay charged with that. I want to be excited about being in the house of God. And when you come with expectancy, God meets you there. I remember as a kid, I would really set in my mind on Sunday when I left the church, now if I can just make it to Wednesday, I can come back. Because I wanted to be in God's presence so bad. And because of that expectancy, I never went one time that he didn't meet me there. And you know what? He met me Monday to Wednesday and Wednesday to Sunday again. He met me in the secret place. But he was also, there was just something, even as a kid, that I noticed so much, that there was something that happened when corporate worship, when people came together, needs were met and my chains fell. I passed a book on a shelf, and the Holy Spirit just snatched me with it. And it's a funny book, because I just turned 54, so it's a funny book to catch me, but it was What to Expect When You're Expecting. What to Expect When You're Expecting. And I was like, Holy Spirit, that is just the weirdest thing for you to draw my attention to, because you and I both know I'm not expecting. I'm not going to be expecting a baby anytime soon. We all pray and agree, although I do believe in miracles. I don't want one of those. I want to love on y'all's babies. But the Holy Spirit just drew me to that. And so when Pastor Les asked me to preach, I knew that that was the word. What to expect when you're expecting. I want to ask you, are you expecting anything from God this morning? Because the word of God says that the hungry he'll fill. So if you're expecting, if you've worked up a hunger before you got here, then you can expect to eat when you're here. And if you didn't have time to work up your hunger, just grab a little hunger. Just, you know, when I was a kid, I would think about being hungry. I would try to think myself up to hunger, especially if I went to anybody's house. You know, people with those parents that make you eat everything on your plate. And I'd be like, oh, I see those green peas and stuff. Jesus, help me. And I'd have to work up like them. But I just want to encourage you to be expecting, be stirring up hunger in yourself. See, the word of God says that the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. They don't change. If God's spoken something, he's not going to change his mind about it, because he doesn't have second thoughts. He does not have second thoughts. He speaks and it is so. And so in the process of getting our promise, we must remain expectant that it's coming. We have to stir up a spirit of expectancy in us. And so the Holy Spirit drew me to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read a good bit of scripture today. And I think that's a good thing to say, because all I can say can't change you, but the word of God can change you. Luke 5, it says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a certain priest whose name was Zacharias, and some versions call him Zechariah, but it's the same guy. Of the division of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, the first priest of Israel, and her name was Elizabeth, approved in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. Remember that. They both were righteous, approved in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was barren and they were far advanced in years. Now, let me just stop here for a second and say childlessness was a curse in biblical days. There was no in vitro. There was no intervention. You either could or you couldn't. And the whole process, the whole purpose at that time, as far as that culture knew, of a woman was to produce babies. So if you couldn't produce babies in that culture, you were looked down on. And so Elizabeth has been waiting a long time to conceive, and she hasn't been able to. And so she's experienced a lot of pain and shame. In verse 8, it says, now it happened while Zacharias was serving as a priest before God, in the appointed order of his priestly division, as was the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the temple of the Lord and burn incense on the altar of incense. And all the congregation was praying outside in the court of the temple at the hour of incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw the angel, he was troubled and overcome with fear. He was troubled and overcome with fear. I don't know how many of you have heard from God, but that's a natural response a little bit when God's presence invades your space. If you even if you know him, there's just an awe about it. You know, there's just a holy fear about it. And to be honest, there's a little bit of a scary fear about it sometimes, right? Because, I mean, can you imagine? It didn't say that God didn't come himself, but he sent his main angel, Gabriel, to come and invade Zacharias' space and speak to him. And so he's old. Did I mention that? Elizabeth is around, from what I studied, around 88 years old. But she's like 88. And he's older, at least 10 years older from what I read. So, you know, first of all, don't scare old people. It's not good, right? But the Lord sends an angel to say, hey, I'm Gabriel. And so it says he's not only scared, but it says he's overwhelmed with fear. He's having probably a full-blown panic attack. It says, when he saw the angel, he was troubled and overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, because your petition in prayer, listen, your petition in prayer was heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You will name him John. Now, do you think this was an old petition, an old prayer, or a current prayer? I'm wondering about that, because here the guy is, he's old, he's nearly 100, and God evidently has promised him a son in the past, and so, you know, he's waited a long time, but, you know, the scripture says, don't be weary in well-doing, because if you don't faint, you'll reap. But when you're expecting something and the circumstances aren't conducive to your promise, it's easy to grow weary and well-doing and think God hasn't heard me. He doesn't care about my plight. He doesn't care about my shame. He doesn't care about my pain. He's not hearing me. And so God sends an angel. First of all, it was a big deal for Zacharias to even get to go in the temple. I read some statistics. And so there could have been up to 85,000, is what I read, priests. And they were broken up in different orders and in smaller sectors. But the smallest amount of people that were in his group, according to biblical research, is 500. So a lot of priests never, ever got to go in and burn incense. A lot of them never got the honor of going into the presence. And the temple housed the presence of God. And so it was a scary thing. You know how they put the, when the priests went in, they put the bells on their robes and they knew if the bell stopped ringing that the priest had sin in his life because he was struck dead, and then they'd get something and drag him out. And so Zacharias had this scary honor to get to go in and burn incense. And I wonder how long he had waited. I wonder if he had ever went in. He's an old man, somewhere near in his 90s, late 90s, according to what I researched. And so his chance has come to go in and burn incense. And two guys go in for him. One scoops up the incense from the day before. The other goes in with I believe it was a gold bowl of hot coals to put on the altar. And then as they do that, they both back away. They worship, they do their job, and then they back away and move on out. So when Zacharias is thinking, probably, I'm in here by myself because everyone else has already backed out. And then he hears this voice. Do not be afraid, Zacharias, because your petition in prayer was heard, and your wife will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have great joy and delight. You know, he's sitting there, dude, I'm 99. I'm old. Nothing left in me, man. But he's sitting there, and he's hearing this word, and so I imagine his natural and the supernatural were just colliding, because his brain's got to be thinking, what in the world? Like, but his prayers were still evidently going up. So you will have great joy and delight, and many will rejoice over his birth, for he will be great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord, and he will never drink wine or liquor, and he will be filled with and empowered to act by the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the sons of Israel back from sin to love and to serve the Lord with their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power and of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, which is to seek and submit to the will of God, in order to make ready a people perfectly prepared spiritually and morally for the Lord. He's like, Zacharias, you've waited a long time, but I'm about to blow your mind with this kid. God's just about to mess you up. And, you know, it's so interesting to me because they, you know, would they have missed it? I'm sure they wouldn't have, but that God sent the same angel to Zacharias that he sent to Mary to share the news. He sent the same message to the parents of the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, that he did to the parents of Jesus, Gabriel. If you got a message from Gabriel, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. He's a chief angel. And so Zacharias said, "How will I be certain of this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in age." The angel replied and said to him, "I'm Gabriel." It's kind of like, let me reintroduce myself. I'm Gabriel. I'm in the ranks of heaven. God sent me. Nobody else sent me. God sent me here. I'm Gabriel. Stand and minister in the very presence of God. I stand and minister in the very presence of God. I have been sent by him, God, to speak to you and bring you this news. Listen carefully, and you will be continually silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe what I told you, but my words will be fulfilled at the proper time. You can understand his question, right? I'm 99, but yet he's in the presence. Angels bring the presence of a holy God. And so Gabriel is saying, hey, I'm here, and this is going to happen, and you've been praying and believing for it, but now you're asking questions and you're doubting a little bit, so it's still going to happen, but we're going to have to keep you quiet the rest of the time. I wonder why. I wonder why he took his voice. I wonder why he disabled his voice. Maybe because our words can mess up our miracle. Have you ever thought about that? I've watched people, and there is almost no way God can bless them, because he would have to go against his word to bless them, because he's got to give them a child of God. Scripture says that you have what you say you have. So if you're saying you're broke and you're busted and you're disgusted, then you absolutely are. You're never going to probably be okay if that's your proclamation. And so I wonder if Zacharias was going to mess up the promise by his mouth, and maybe that's why the angel said, we're going to have to quiet you down, man. We're going to have to shut your mouth. And can I just say that? I feel empowered by the Holy Ghost this morning. I don't know if you feel it, but I feel it, and that's important to me. But I want you to tell you, some people just need to shut up. Some of us just need to stop saying it can't happen, it won't happen. Look at this, look at that, look at all these symptoms. Look at all these symptoms of failure. Look at all these symptoms of good things not happening. Look around and see. When you're expecting something, you can't be consumed with symptoms. You have to be consumed with a promise that's being birthed in you. If you're not careful, you'll mess up your miracle by your critical tongue, by sitting and saying, well, she got her miracle, he got his miracle, I'm probably never going to get mine. And of all people, Zacharias had reason to ask questions because he's so old. But God has sent this empowered angel to speak that it's going to happen. I haven't forgotten your promise. I heard your prayer. Oh, how I would love for an angel to come and tell me that God heard my most important prayer. But you know what? We have the word of God that tells us that God hears our most important prayers, that if we call on him, he'll answer us and he'll show us great and mighty things, that if we'll confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we can have what we believe. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe. And so by taking his voice I feel like the angel and God, through the power of the angel, was shutting up his doubt. Because in that moment, in the holy place, he was starting to question, like, how? I don't know, you know? Which is normal. But it also can be an abortion for a promise. The news has been crazy, hasn't it, lately? That they can inject a full-term baby. You know how that happens? By the word of somebody's mouth. There's no condemnation for anybody that has done that, but the truth, the word of God stands. And babies are created in the image of God. But it only takes a word to abort that miracle. It only takes an action. It only takes an appointment. It only takes not thinking how long this turmoil will last, because I can't tell you how many women I've counseled in altars around everywhere I've been almost, and there's somebody that tells me, I still have the effects. It was a snap decision. I made it. What they're saying is, I aborted my miracle by the word in my mouth. So you have to be careful, and we have to be careful as a church in our time of expectancy not to curse what God has blessed, not to forget what he has promised. It's easy when you can't see the signs. Before I knew that there was a baby in me, you know, I knew it was in me. I knew that I had been told I could never have a baby. So when I conceived, I was like, wow. They say I really have a baby, right? And I was excited about it, but I kept remembering that somebody said I couldn't bear children way back. And so the enemy would taunt me with that fear that you're not going to have children. But I would pray. But when that baby started to move and I started having symptoms, I remember the first time that I knew for sure, before the doctor told me I was pregnant, the first time I knew for sure is because I threw up, and I don't throw up unless there's no other choice. I'm telling you, it's projectile or nothing. It's not coming out of me if I have any control of it, you hear me? So I got so sick one morning, and I knew, and I went and got a test, and sure enough, I was pregnant. But if I hadn't weighed the promise and the lies, if I hadn't known to speak the truth, if I hadn't known to pray, and I understand that, and I had a miscarriage as well, so I understand that those things happen, but I'm saying I had choices to make. I had words to say, and I had the choice to keep her into pregnancy. Is it ever convenient to be swollen up for 9 months and feel awful and vomiting? No, it's never convenient. But I understand some people are in horrible shape with those things. But I want to tell you, I just thought of that. Like, it's just by the word of their mouth, just by a choice. That's why Scripture encourages us to be careful what we say. But the older I get, the less I talk, because I understand more the power of my words, that there's life and death. You know, you hear that, but then you see that. You know, you see it happening, and you have to just be aware. And so it's by, when you think of that, an abortion in the natural is by the word of the mouth, and an abortion in the spirit by the words of your mouth. So if you're expecting, what to expect when you're expecting is to prepare an environment mentally, spiritually, emotionally, prepare physically, prepare an environment for your promise to grow in. In verse 20, we'll start. Listen carefully. You will continually be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe what I told you, but my words will be fulfilled at the proper time. I want to emphasize proper time. Just because your promise isn't here doesn't mean it's not coming. It just means it hasn't been the proper time yet. But in due season, if God's spoken a word and you create the atmosphere for that word, it will come forth. The people outside in the court were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering about the long delay in the temple. But when he did come out, he was unable to speak. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When his time of priestly service was finished, he returned to his home. Now, after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months she secluded herself completely, saying, "This is how the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor on me to take away my disgrace among women." See, they had prayed for a child, but it seemed way overdue. It seemed like it would never happen. It seemed everyone's saying, your promise is past due. Your promise is forfeited. Your promise is denied. And I hear people speaking that over promises that God has said. And I want to tell you that my promise is not denied. It may be delayed, but it's not denied. Even this year, I've seen things happen that God promised me at 12 years old would happen. And here, all these years later, I'm seeing God remember his promise to me. And you know what I told somebody? I remember somebody saying to me, "I've had all kind of words too." And I said, "The difference between you and me is I believe the ones I got. And I stand on them." I've told this story. When I got my first word from God, I got a piece of a little penny candy bag, we used to call them, a little brown bag, like a sack lunch, a little tiny one. And that was all I could find in our crazy, chaotic world to write down my promise. But I was so excited about what the Lord said. And I didn't want to forget a word. So I rushed home and I wrote down everything the prophet had said to me. Because that was the first time I knew I had purpose. That was the first time I had been confronted by God with my purpose. And I wanted to write it down and remember it. So these guys had not done anything wrong, but their promise was delayed. They were expecting, but they were growing weary in expecting because they hadn't been physically expecting. They were both righteous and approved in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in the commandments and requirements of the Lord, but they were still childless. They still didn't have the one promise that they wanted so bad that they had obviously cried out to God for. They were doing what was right, but everyone looked at them like they were doing something wrong. Why isn't this happening for you? Elizabeth, when she said that, "The Lord has shown me favor amongst the people that have ridiculed me. The people that have caused me pain and despair. Now the Lord has shown me favor." And you know what? If I was 88, I'd probably stay home too if I was pregnant. Because, I mean, how are you going to explain that to everybody? They're going to start talking you out of your miracle. And people will do it. They will tell you, it's not going to happen for you. It's not going to happen there. It's not going to happen. What God said is not going to happen. And you can agree with that. And it probably won't happen for you. But it will still happen what God said. They had a choice to give up or to keep serving God without any side of their promise. They continued to serve faithfully regardless of the situation that appeared hopeless. They continued to serve in the house of God. They continued to serve. They continued to do what they knew to do. When you're expecting, do what you know to do. Eat healthy. Put healthy things in your life. You know, when I got pregnant, I didn't want to be around negative people. When I was expecting, people that wanted to tell me horror stories about all their bad labor experiences, I would just be like walking down the hall at my work and be like, "Note to self, don't talk to her anymore. Note to self, don't go to that building because this lady," there was a lady in there, "she just loved to tell me horror stories." You have to protect the environment of your promise. You have to protect your mind, your body, and your spirit. You have to. When you're expecting, everything matters. When you're expecting something from God, everything matters. Who you hang out with, if it's people that can talk you out of your promise, you need to evaluate that. If it's people that are going to curse your promise and just make you feel bad about yourself, don't hang out with them. The older I get, the more I'm aware that God has given me the power to control my environment. He has given me the choices to draw healthy boundaries, causing despair and pain and agony. And I never knew. One day, Pastor Les said, "Let's change the locks on the door." And I was like, "That's a brilliant idea. Brilliant." And we took control of what God had given us. We wanted to protect our environment. We wanted to protect our children. So Zacharias and Elizabeth had the choice to give up or to keep serving. And they chose to keep serving in the house of God. They continued to serve and be faithful regardless of what appeared to be hopeless. Sometimes your delayed promise is not because something is wrong, but because God is seeing if your service is conditional. Is your service and your love conditional? If I don't get to do what I want to get to do when I want to do it, will I still serve anyway? You know, I love to preach the word better than anything I do, pretty much. I love it. I'd rather preach than breathe. I'd rather preach than eat, and that's saying a lot. But I've done a lot more serving than I've done preaching. And I've learned there's no greater. Not one thing is greater than the other. It's just as important for me to cook a meal as it is for me to preach the word. It's just as important for me to do the nursery as it is for me to do worship. It's just as important for me to do whatever is service unto the Lord, whatever needs to be done. Because the Lord's not going to look at your resume. He's going to look at your faithfulness. And long before Pastor Les and I ever got hired on at a church, from the time I know that I was 10 years old, I was serving in my church. If the youth pastor, if we didn't have a youth pastor, which most of the time we didn't, guess who preached? I did. Guess how I did it? I opened the word and put my finger in it and just found a scripture and said, we're not going to the store to get candy until we've had the word. And they hated me. They hated me. But I just like had just a sure thing, like I needed the word and I feel like y'all need it too. And so, you know, I would just do whatever. My pastor would say the floor needs to be vacuumed. Come on, let's go to church. I was at his house all the time. Come, let's go to church and vacuum the floor. So we did it. We just grew up serving. And you know what? My pastor's wife was just anointed and just as happy when she was making a meal for me or when she was wiping a nose at the nursing home. Each thing. I never saw her serve in one capacity greater. She found herself serving in everything. And God helped me to do that as well. Your delayed promise may not be because something is wrong. It may all be timing. It may all be God's watching your faithfulness. Will you serve me if? I remember him asking me, will you give your best if you never speak again? Really love to preach. But will you do it? Will you do whatever I ask you to do without doing that? Because it's not important if you have a microphone in your hand. It's not near as important as all the things you do that nobody sees and nobody knows and nobody's taken account of. That's the important things. The things that you see that can be rewarded aren't near as important. Most of you don't know this, but Mr. Steve never eats lunch on time. Mr. Steve is doing the accounting in the office every single Sunday. How many of you knew that? That he stays late every single Sunday. And do you know what? In 20 years, I have never, ever, ever heard him or Miss Deb say, we're not going to do this. Or, we hate this. This is ridiculous. Nobody likes to write little numbers and little lines. Nobody likes to sit there all day. Maybe some people like it. But I'm saying they've just served with honor and with integrity and with consistency. Not because it was the funnest job in the church, but because it needed to be done. And so they served with faithfulness. And so I know that God takes note of that. These things, when we serve God unconditionally, doing things that we don't necessarily love to do, it draws his attention. And Zacharias and Elizabeth had been doing things that drew his attention. They had been serving faithfully. They had been doing whatever needed to be done. He was still being faithful to the house of God, remaining in spite of his chances to serve in prominence or with any promise being in sight. Zacharias was confronted by Gabriel. He was afraid. He was shaken up. Nobody was there probably to witness it because the other two guys had already checked out. And then he asked for proof and he got his voice taken away. I think of so much. This, you know, sometimes you look at scripture and go, I don't really understand that. Of course he was shocked. God had not spoken to anybody in 400 years. But he sent his messenger to speak to Zacharias that his wife was going to be impregnated with John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Savior. 400 years God held his breath to deliver this promise. 400 years nobody heard a peep from him except for the written word. And here these two faithful servants promised past due. Expectations seemingly demolished. Remained faithful, faithful, faithful. And God delivered his promise. Although he had been silent, he opened his mouth. He could have said so many things. But Gabriel said, God sent me to tell you, he heard your prayer. Prayer is important. Prayer.